Stay tuned for the Sean Casey Show, a podcast for patriots. Welcome back to the Sean Casey Show, a podcast for patriots. This is the Casey Commentary, Trump Trial by Jury. And we're going to talk about the legal system, the lawfare that has been weaponized against the former president of the United States, Donald J. Trump, the first American president to ever have to sit and be accused of 34 counts by the Soros-funded Alvin Bragg and the Soros-funded Juan Merchan, the judge not born in this country, and his daughter, who's a political operative. We'll get into all of that. But this is an unprecedented chapter in American history where a former president stands accused of criminal charges in a federal court in which, of course, he could be convicted and could face years in prison as a result. And we'll talk about the jury more specifically in just a second, but I am reminded of a film, 1957 film called 12 Angry Men, starring Henry Fonda, Lee J. Cobb, E.J. Marshall, and so many others. You should probably take a look at it. It's a good picture. It's black and white, so that might disappoint many of you, but it is a very good motion picture. And basically, a man is being, you know, is on trial for murder. And his life is in their hands. And again, Henry Fonda is the skeptic on the one lone juror who is the skeptic, who is the holdout, who, you know, again, cautions everyone, let's look at the evidence and let's not rush to a hasty verdict, which many of them want to do. They think the guy is stone cold guilty. They want to pass judgment. They want to get out of that jury room and they want to go home. But Henry Fonda is the lone skeptic that one by one convinces each of one of these other men. Yes, it was all men in this jury. Of course, it is a Hollywood film, but it's well worth worth looking at. And I just want to remind you that in a city that votes 85% to 90% Democrat, where there should have been a change of venue, if you're going to put a Republican politician, let alone a Republican president, and one named Trump on trial in New York City, where the jury pool votes Democrat 85% to 90% of the time, that screams for change of venue. But that was not allowed to happen. And the judge in this case, Juan Merchan, should have recused himself based on the political activities of his political operative daughter, who has taken donations and raised money for all sorts of Democrats. And Juan Merchan himself is a Democrat donor to the Democrat Party. Again, I don't think judges, I understand, once you put on that black robe, you should be as impartial and as objective as humanly possible. To keep donating money to political campaigns, you never know what is going to happen. And I think that's part of the flaw in our jurisprudence system. But all it takes is one juror, one lone holdout, to look at the evidence and to examine the evidence to see if it warrants a guilty verdict beyond a reasonable doubt. And if that one juror holds out, then you have a hung jury. And then, of course, it'll be up to the judge in this case to decide whether or not they're impossibly hung and they can't go back in and deliberate and try to come back with a unanimous verdict. And that takes great, incredible strength. And let's say it is one person, whether it's the four person or anybody else, that one person has to stay strong, that one person has to resist the pressure, that herd mentality, which we all as human beings, nobody wants to be confrontational. Nobody likes conflict. Everybody likes to go along to get along. It takes incredible strength, a courage of your convictions to look at the evidence that's presented before you. And to them, if you do not believe it rises to a crime beyond a reasonable doubt, then you have an obligation to vote against a guilty verdict. And that's what we're facing in this case. And it, look, I'm not holding out hope. I don't think there's going to be a good chance that Trump will be exonerated or acquitted by this jury. But there's always a chance. And so I like to remain optimistic until the verdict comes back. Meanwhile, the statute of limitations ran out. This was 7 years ago. The accusation is from Alvin Bragg that Donald Trump falsified business records on a hush money payment to a porn star, of course, Stormy Daniels, whose I'm sure credibility is sacrosanct. And then you got the stinking rotten rat Michael Cohen, the convicted perjurer, and others that have an axe to grind to take down Donald Trump. So, you look at the statute of limitations had run out, but what they did is he hijacked a misdemeanor. Yes, falsifying business records in New York is considered a misdemeanor, but somehow they put a misdemeanor, they put it on steroids, and they basically hijacked it and they boosted it to a felony, and thus the 34 counts. So this is just overkill. He overcharged in this particular case. Why? Because they want to keep Trump in court for the next 6 to 7 weeks. They want to bleed him dry money, or as much money as they can humanly possibly can, although it's now come out from Lara Trump that they've raised $3 or $4 million already this week as a result of this lawfare, this weaponization of the legal system against Donald Trump. But the main thing is to keep him off the campaign stump, off the Hastings, if you will. So the statute has run out. That should be an appealable thing. This was a bookkeeping error at worst, okay? Something that was jotted down as legal expenses. You can argue whether or not it was a legal expense. Well, if you, again, that's many of these NDAs, these non-disclosure agreements, are considered legal documents. It is commonplace for rich people, millionaires and billionaires, to make these nuisance lawsuits or complaints go away paying hush money. And again, we have the letter from Stormy Daniels in 2018 that says there was no illicit affair and there was no hush money paid, and she signed her name to it. That should be end of story right there. In addition to that, we have a gag order placed on former President Trump. Meanwhile, the judge can talk about it. The prosecutor can talk about it. His witnesses, like stinking rotten rat Michael Cohen, can talk about it. And he does in his podcast almost every day. He's milking this for all he can. There's, again, I think also the revelation that he paid the $130,000 to Stormy Daniels, said it was Trump's, in order to blackmail Trump in the future. This guy is as low as, he's lower than whale dung at the bottom of the ocean. And so his credibility is being called into question. So, but, how can that be allowed in America that you're being accused of 34 felony counts and you're not allowed to defend yourself publicly when you're being said things are being said from other witnesses like Michael Cohen and others? That's not the American way. I think that would also be an appealable issue going forward. And the fact that the judge is not sharing the witness list with Trump and his attorneys, I also think that's an appellate issue. So, again, there's all sorts of problems. So let's get into the jury selection, because that's where most of the firestorm and controversy was this week. They now have a jury that's seated, 12 jurors and 6 alternates. Took a while to get there, all week to get there. And, of course, opening arguments are started to begin on Monday, this coming Monday, April the 22nd. The 7 jurors sworn in Thursday joined 5 who were selected on Tuesday. The jury's 4-person, interesting, works in sales, originally from Ireland. He's married, likes anything outdoors. He lives in West Harlem and reads the New York Times, Fox News, and MSDNC. And so, again, that looks like it could be a business person, and that might be favorable to Trump. 2nd juror is married investment banker who says he follows Trump's posts on Truth Social. We don't know whether he likes or dislikes Trump, but I think that has got some possibility. And I think Trump's team were careful to try to get some lawyers on the jury. And the reason why lawyers on the jury, they're less likely to be emotional. They're less likely to be judged. They're more logical. They're more rational when looking at facts and looking at evidence. The 3rd jury is a young corporate law attorney. The 4th juror has 3 children, likes woodworking and metalworking. He's a security engineer. The fifth juror is a young female English teacher who lives with her boyfriend. That's probably anti-Trump. The sixth juror, a recent college graduate who works as a software engineer. She lives with three roommates and says she doesn't have any strong feelings about Trump. Well, we'll see. Seventh juror is a civil litigation attorney from North Carolina. So again, another attorney. The eighth juror has two kids and used to be a wealth manager. Retired now. Enjoys hobbies include skiing, fly fishing. The ninth juror is an unmarried woman who lives alone, works as a speech therapist, and likes reality TV podcasts. Wonder if she ever watched The Apprentice. The 10th juror, originally from Ohio, works in commerce and enjoys podcasts on behavioral psychology. Juror number 11, who Trump tried to remove after she said she didn't like his persona, is a product development manager. And the 12th juror is a female physical therapist who listens to sports and faith-based podcasts. So, interesting jury. Seven men, five women. I think that is more favorable to Trump than the reverse. So, there are some juror or potential juror profiles here which could be beneficial to Trump. We'll have to wait and see, obviously, as the trial unfolds. And this thing could go all the way up to Memorial Day weekend. And again, we have this idea that he's not allowed to attend the Supreme Court hearings on immunity. And also, it looks like he may or may not be able to attend Barron's graduation on May the 17th, coming up in about less than a month or so. So, again, this is trial by jury. This is the American system, although I think it needs some revision of late when you get this, especially if it's a political person that's being tried in hostile territory. It would have been very easy to change the venue, move this into a neighboring county where at least there's a chance that the jury pool would have been a little bit more balanced, not so heavily weighted, for Democrats and against Trump. But that might also be an appellate issue if Trump is found to be gay, if he is convicted. I don't think he's guilty of anything. I don't think he's done anything wrong. But this is what passes for. This is what happens when you have Soros-funded prosecutors, judges, and radical progressive Democrats in charge of our legal system right now, and they've weaponized it against Trump and everybody else. So remember, it only takes one juror to hang in there, be strong in their convictions. If they don't believe Trump is guilty of anything beyond a reasonable doubt.
Freedom is never more than one generation away from extinction.
And thanks for joining us again for this KC Commentary, Trump Trial by Jury. Back on Tuesday with another full episode, including the betrayal by Speaker Johnson and much, much more in Congress. Until then, I want you to have a great weekend, and we'll see you on Tuesdays. Fight hard, stay free.